So that's a fundamental thing that, first of all, you need to realize that life is now and never not now. It's only this moment ever. Past and future only have a secondary reality. The past only exists if you remember it now. The future only exists if you mentally project yourself into some future moment, but even that you can only do now. Your entire life unfolds in this space of now. You cannot think, feel, experience anything that is not now. People don't live like that. They live as if past and future, especially future for many people, were more important than the present moment. And they have a very strange relationship with the present moment, which means with life. For many people, the present moment unconsciously is regarded as an obstacle because they are here, but they want to get there. How do I get there? They're here, they ignore this. How do I get there? So they're stressed, they're continuously stressed because they're continuously trying to get away from now. Instead of fully giving your attention to what you need to do now, you project yourself to the next moment and you want to be there already. So you devalue this moment. It's a dreadful way to live. So they're making the now into an obstacle unconsciously, and then there's this projection, if I get to the next one, then it'll be okay, or the next year, or when I achieve this or have that. But the same structure operates when they get there, because it'll still now and they want to be somewhere else. So that's a dysfunction, making the present moment into an obstacle, or even worse, making the present moment into an enemy. You treat this present, you don't like where you are, you don't like who you are with, you don't like what you are doing. What an insane way to live, but it's, one could almost say it's normal for many people. That's their normal reality. They don't like where they are, they don't like their surroundings, they don't like their job, they don't like... The present moment becomes an enemy to them unconsciously.
What about people who have really, their present moment is they're in an abusive relationship, or they're incarcerated, or they're, you know, or they just found out they lost their job today?
Yes.
and they have children to support.
I'm getting many letters from people in prison, for example, who have actually read The Power of Now or A New Earth, and I've had letters from prison saying, I realized I'm actually free. I'm still in prison, but inside I'm now free because I've learned not to resist internally the present moment. I can say, this is what is. It's just this moment. Here I am sitting, I'm breathing, I'm looking, there's a little window, I'm looking out of the window, I can see a little bit of sky, one person wrote to me, and I feel myself breathing, and I feel the aliveness in the inner body. And this is, I've come to accept this moment, not accept that I have to be here for the next 20 years. I just need to accept, become friendly with this moment, no matter how difficult it seems. Many years ago, I write about it in The New Earth. I was at a graduate student in Cambridge, and there was this man in a wheelchair, and he couldn't move his limbs. He had to be fed. I saw him every day at lunch. His head was slumped forward. The food would fall out of his mouth when people fed him. One day I opened the door for his wheelchair to come through, and he looked at me with his blue, clear eyes. And at that moment I saw he was not in suffering at all. So I realized at that moment he had completely surrendered to what is, the isness of life, the isness of this moment. And that was Stephen Hawking. Later I realized he wasn't world famous at that time. He was just well known in Cambridge. Years later, I saw his image on the cover of a news magazine and said, oh, that's the man I saw every day in the restaurant in Cambridge. And he was still in his wheelchair. He was supposed to die years earlier. He was still alive. And when I looked into his eyes, I saw in this, one of the worst things that could happen perhaps to a human being, to be totally paralyzed, only your mind is still working, but totally paralyzed, can't do anything for yourself anymore, can't even speak anymore. And he lived in a state of acceptance. And because he lived in that state of, which is not negative, it's a very positive state, just this is. Just to say, this moment is as it is. And then you can take action, but you're no longer resisting the isness of now, because the isness already is as it is. It is already the case. So you come from a state of openness towards life. And that's perhaps why his thinking became so creative, because he was able to come from a state of openness to life instead of complaining. It would have been very natural for a person like that to withdraw and to go into a state of deep negativity and feel sorry for yourself, because the worst thing that could happen to a human being has happened to you. That would the mind would be telling you that if you were listening to your mind. And I read this article then that I found in the magazine, and there was a beautiful line in that article where he said about his life, "Who could have wished for more?" This person in the wheelchair, paralyzed, said about his life, "Who could have wished for more?" And so that means coming into alignment with the present moment, no matter what happens, even if it looks on the surface, it might look unacceptable, losing your job or even losing a loved one, whatever loss it is. But if you come into alignment, then out of that seemingly unacceptable situation, something good arises. If you internally you come into a state of yes to the isness of this moment, then even if it looks bad on the surface, there's always something hiding underneath it, underneath the seemingly bad. But you won't find that if you continuously resist. You have to come to a state of openness to life, to now.
Do these thoughts that you have, are often we see Christian references, we see references to Buddha. Is this a mix of different religions that you're looking at, or what?
No, it's the one basic spiritual truth. And that one basic spiritual truth expresses itself in different forms in the different religions. So I'm going to the basic spiritual truth instead of taking things from different religions and mixing them up. No, the different religions are just expressions of the one basic spiritual truth. And so I want to go to this, I'm going to the source of that and express it in a way that people can understand and realize in their own lives without having to subscribe mentally to this or that religion. Somebody who has no religion can understand this and experience it, or anybody who has, whether they are Christians or Buddhists or whether they subscribe to Islam or any belief, it doesn't matter, because the basic truth is there if you look deep enough in all the religions. And so it's finding the core of spirituality that is there in all religions. Sometimes you can't see it very clearly because there's so much else on top of that, so many beliefs and so on. So we go to the core of religion rather than treating religion as an ideology, which is what it often becomes.
You know, it's interesting when I'm hearing you talk, I think about, I mean, it's so helpful, but I think about, you know, when people often are very miserable and can't figure it out, they'll go to a therapist and they will start reviving their childhood and speaking very much to those things. So is that something that you would not recommend then? Because much of that is going back and talking about the circumstances of you know, your childhood and how your parents raised you and things like that. Is that destructive as opposed to helpful?
Sometimes understanding the past can be helpful, but delving into the past too much and trying to find some kind of ultimate answer in the past, I think, is misleading, because the answer has to come by going more deeply into the present moment rather than into the past, to become more present to what is, which includes, of course, your emotions, to become more conscious of what kind of emotions go through your body, what kind of thoughts go through your head. So becoming more aware, becoming more present in the now. And if you do that, become more open to what is, then sometimes you will, memories may suddenly come from the past, and you may suddenly realize that a certain emotion that you experience frequently might have its root in the past, something that might have happened in childhood you might have forgotten. The answer is not in the past, the answer is in a state of aware presence in the moment, in the now. So remembering the past can occasionally be helpful. It will come naturally as you become more present, because if the past is still alive in you, it will manifest in one form or another in the present moment. That's the only place where it can manifest, because that's all there is. So if you're still carrying stuff from the past inside yourself, if you become more open and to the present moment, more conscious of the present moment, then you will see that in the light of the present moment, in the light of the awareness. But you don't have to go there. It will reveal itself in the now, whatever is still concealed inside you.
It's funny, you know, we're talking about the now right now, and yet somehow there is something about somebody's past that kind of unlocks something about who they are. I mean, I look at you and I just wonder what kind of little boy you were.
Well, that's might be interesting, but that cannot really tell you who I am. It might be interesting to. I don't remember very clearly. I think I was basically unhappy most of my childhood because there was continuous conflict, and my parents were continuously fighting. And basically, I was probably a sensitive child, so that affected me very strongly. And that perhaps then was the origin, perhaps, of my later depressions and anxiety. That's all true, but that even knowing that, it doesn't help me understand who I really am. Those are things that I can understand about myself. I make the difference in A New Earth about knowing yourself and knowing about yourself. So if you go to a psychiatrist or rather psychotherapist, you often learn more things about yourself, about your past, about your conditioning that you perhaps weren't aware of. And that's fine, learning things about yourself, but that still doesn't mean you know yourself. So what does that mean when I say knowing yourself? Knowing about myself, okay, is knowing about my history and my past emotions and so on. Knowing myself can only happen in the present moment, and that is knowing something within me that is timeless. And that timeless thing is what we mentioned at the beginning when we started our conversation here, and that is not your thoughts or your emotions, but the space underneath your thoughts and emotions, the aware space, the present space, where there's simply an awareness, a knowing that is non-conceptual, just pure consciousness. Thoughts are consciousness that has taken some form, a thought form. Emotions are consciousness that has taken on the form of an emotion. It comes and goes. Thoughts come and go. Come and go, continuous flux. And underneath that, there is a conscious space or presence. Jesus called that the light. You are the light. Jesus said of himself, I am the light. Sometimes people forget that he also said, you are the light. You are the light of the world, he said. What does that mean? The light in which everything appears, in which the light which makes all sense perception possible, the light which makes all thinking possible, the light which makes all feelings possible, which is consciousness. Without consciousness, there wouldn't be anything. There needs to be consciousness for something to be. It comes into being through the conscious space. The Buddha called it emptiness. And this is the same as what Jesus calls the light. There is an unconditioned, timeless dimension in yourself, not some distant thing that you can find if you work very hard for the next 10 lifetimes, no, that is immediately accessible, but is actually simply covered up by a thin layer of thoughts and emotions. It's kind of, it covers up that. It's just a reorientation of the focus of your attention to take it there to occasionally, find that dimension. It's right here, here and now.
I have one last question, because the fact your life is changing. I won't talk about what you're planning for the future, but how do you keep yourself in the now? And when, you know, your influence, you there's all this star power around you too. There's many demands. There's more people wanting things from you. So how do you keep your ego in check?
Well, ego, yes. Ego means to have some kind of concept in your head. Concept, of course, means thoughts. Some concept in your head of who you are. So if then I begin to derive my identity from the concept in my head that I'm a very special person now, that means I've fallen back into ego and I no longer know who I am, essentially, because who I am is beyond any definition. Who you are is beyond any definition. So if I get lost again in some mental concept, that means, okay, I've become, so to speak, unconscious again. So far, I don't think it has happened. I'm not identifying with any concept, and I'm just staying with what is. What is it that this moment requires me to do? And I look at that and I do that. It's fairly simple. Just do what is at hand, fully face the present moment, and then life remains simple. If I project myself continuously forward, I think this afternoon I have to go there and tomorrow I have to give this big talk, I hope it's going to go well, what if it doesn't go well? I would be dreadful. But if you just stay with what is needed now, of course I can plan for the future by looking at my appointment book and see what I'm doing tomorrow, that's fine. But I'm not projecting myself forward to tomorrow's talk and think, what if it doesn't go well, what if they don't like me, or what if the words won't come, whatever the mind does, then things get difficult. So simply staying with just this moment, then life remains simple. And not believing that you are this or that, not if people think you're special, as sometimes happens with people when they become famous, or burn on, then people project some kind of image. To Oprah it happens on a huge scale, this projection. And so the challenge then is, yes, it is a challenge to remain, not to take that on board and believe in the projections that other people have towards you, remaining simple, remaining just not living through some concept of who you are, just being the presence, the awareness.